I'm going to sit down for a second because it just seems appropriate as I share with you what I'm about to share. You ever battle with something that you know is an attack of the enemy? You know it's an attack of the enemy. You know the thoughts that he's putting in your mind are contrary to the Word of God, and yet the battle is still there. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. With that, let's read Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. I want to emphasize one phrase in this passage of Scripture. Great, great psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, amen, heals all your diseases, amen, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, boy, that's the truth, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many of you know that the touch of the Holy Spirit in us brings youthfulness to our spirit again? Or the work of the Holy Spirit in us brings a youthfulness to our spirit again. We see over and over in the Word of God, God did things in the lives of people far past what would normally occur. Case in point, Abraham and Sarah, you know. And others we could mention. God is not bound by age restrictions. Okay? Moses, God didn't call him to be a deliverer until he was 80 years old. So anybody 80 years old in here, you know, there's a good chance God's not through. Anyway, we know that. We know that mentally. But I've been struggling with that truth because of, you look in the mirror, you know, and you don't look like you used to. Also, earlier this year, several things happened. I'll just mention a couple of them. In April, I had the 30th anniversary of my ordination. Some of you don't know this about me, so I'll just tell it quickly. But I got my first credential in 1980. The Lord kind of thrust me into ministry in 1979. I got my first credential in 1980, my second license to preach in 1981. And then in 1985, I got the highest level of credential that the Assemblies of God offers, the ordination. 30 years ago, something about hitting 30 years really threw me for a loop. Along with the fact that I have always been all of my life incredibly healthy, and now they're not big, but there's one or two little health concerns. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Suddenly, the devil taps on my shoulder and says, "Your best days are behind you. Your most productive years for the kingdom are over." And I don't believe that. I've been fighting it. The devil tells, I don't know if he does this with you or not, but he's been saying to me, "You just need to prepare for retirement." You just need to take it easy and get out while the getting's good, da-da-da-da-da. I was still battling with all of that when I went to general counsel. And when I got to general counsel, I'm sitting there and I'm looking for leaders that I know. My first general counsel was in San Antonio in 1985, And there have been 16 general councils since then, and I've made 13 of them. So I don't miss general counsel often. But through the years, I've known several of the leaders. But I just, for whatever reason, I'm sitting there this time, and I notice that every one of the leaders from that first general council 30 years ago are now gone. They're in heaven. And the whole crew up there is a completely different crew. Well, that makes sense. It would be, right? It's been 30 years. But in that instance, the enemy's on my shoulder, and he's going, "See, you're a has-been." You know? Then on top of that, a number of years ago in our movement, some of us became concerned because most of our ministers were getting a lot older. General counsel back in the early 90s, we'd have 7,000 to 10,000 people, and most of them were 55 plus, you know. In fact, I remember in 1991 being in Portland, Oregon, and the guy that was with me, we were sitting up above the floor just a little bit, and there's probably 3,000 ministers sitting in chairs on the floor in front of us. And I turned to Jim sitting next to me, and I said, "Jim, I've never seen so many bald heads in all my life." And it became a source of concern. We began to fast and pray, actually, because we realized it was necessary that God raise up a new generation of preachers for this movement. Well, God has done that. General Council's very different now. We had 23,000 people, this council. And whereas the older ministers used to outnumber the younger ministers probably 4 to 1, these days the under 40 crowd is much larger than the over 40 crowd. This has become a very youthful movement again. To God be the glory. Amen. But even that, even as I was looking around at the council and rejoicing at what I saw, it made me feel old. Because I'm on the upper end of this thing now. That was what was going on in my mind until this. I want to do this tonight. I want to play this for you. Because I want to give you, number one, a little taste of what general counsel is like. But I also want you to know, I want you to hear the message. But I also want you to realize what God is capable of doing in all of us. At various times throughout the week, our general superintendent will just stop whatever we're doing and he'll interview somebody. It may be in future, I'd love to play for you the interview that he did with David Green, the head of Hobby Lobby. I'd love to play for you the interview that he did with Ted Decker, the author. Those guys, members of our Assemblies of God churches and powerfully used of God. This interview, however, is with a lady by the name of Ellen Blackwell. She's 102, or she'll be 102 in December. She's the oldest active minister in the Assemblies of God. She still pastors a church. There's a couple of ministers in our movement that are older than her, but they're not active anymore. She's still active and is still pastoring. And so, just kind of in the middle of all the stuff one day, Dr. Wood stops, and they present her with this award, and he interviews her. The video is 15 minutes, 58 seconds. I just want you to hear what she says and hear what God has done in her life.
Just like the Assemblies of God, our Lifetime Influence Award winner came into this world over 100 years ago. She has spent a lifetime extending the love of Christ to everyone she encounters. She remains vibrant and relevant today as the pastor of Mount Zion Assembly of God in Charlestown, West Virginia. She is the founder and chairman of the board of Seven Springs, Inc., overlooking the Shenandoah River, and conducts prayer retreats at the center there. In 1975, she founded the Way of Faith Assembly of God, the Way of Faith Christian Academy, and the Way of Faith Christian Training Center in Fairfax, Virginia. The academy was a day school kindergarten through 12th grade. The school continued for 40 years. The training center was established to educate and train workers for God's vineyard. To accomplish this, an extension program from Valley Forge Christian College was conducted and later a study center with Global University. As a result, workers have been ordained and sent to various parts of the world. In the last 10 years, when she was 92, the Lord led to the development of a retreat prayer conference center in Migdal, Israel. This retreat facility consists of 5 buildings overlooking the Sea of Galilee and has the capacity for hosting 40 persons. Israel's Voice is the ministry projection of this work in Galilee. She has composed and published verse-by-verse teaching manuals on every book of the Bible and has written devotional books such as the Walking with God series. These have been an inspiration to countless people.
As God worked a resurrection on his son to bring him out of death, so he will make alive, quicken, make alive with his life the cells of our body that we might walk in the Spirit, that the power in the cells of my 100-year-old body are not particularly 100 years old, because the flowing of the Spirit of resurrection goes through the mortal body.
Thank you, Pastor Ellen Blackwell, the 2015 Lifetime Influence Award recipient.
What a joy it is for me to present this Lifetime Achievement Award to one of my favorite people in this whole wide world, Reverend Ellen Blackwell. She is such an inspiration to me. Several years ago, I had the privilege of dedicating the facility in Magdala, the hometown of Mary Magdalene, that in her early 90s, Reverend Blackwell felt a vision to establish a center that could be a prayer and retreat center in marvelous facilities that she has developed overlooking the Sea of Galilee. We're using it now in our Assemblies of God Center for Holy Land Studies programs. And she is an amazing person, an amazing pastor, has developed a retreat center in Virginia as well as the center in Israel, and is an inspiration. And the Lord has put a couple things on her heart to say to all of us. And as I present this Lifetime Achievement Award to you, Reverend Blackwell, I do it with the love of the Assemblies of God Fellowship for you. And we want to hear what the Lord has put upon your heart. And it is heavy. I can hold it for you if that'll help. Let's welcome her as she shares with us.
Thank you very much and appreciate the love that I feel is given with it. I have a couple of things that relate on my heart. I would say it's concerning the beginnings and the ending or closure of my spiritual life. I was about 20 years of age and living in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania when my father was referred to that area. And we've been living there for some time. But my sister, my little sister that I had helped raise from a baby, because mother had 3 children at one time, not at one time, but 3 times close together. And I was very close to her, but in 4 days sickness, she then passed away. I was, as I said, about 20. I had a spiritual experience as a child, but at that time I had a profound impact upon my life concerning eternity, the next stage of our existence, and it has never left me. That's the cause of my intensity. It's an awareness of the next realm. That's the beginning. Now the closing. I guess I'll go one back, one point. We were in the mountains and there was no Assembly of God anywhere near. But my father saw a notice in the paper that Leon Cook was opening an Assembly of God in the county seat 15 miles away, and he took us there. And you know, that's what I want to impress. If you need to start something, do it. That young man took his family and went in with his widowed mother and lived there, but he began a work in Strasbourg. If he had not, I would have had no culture for all the impact of eternity that had come upon me. I would have had nothing to cultivate it. But when I went there, I heard the preaching of the word for the first time in the power of the Spirit. And also, the fact is that out of that man's impression upon my life, talk about influence, he gave me a start in the Christian path. And he took a very nice Schofield, leather-bound Schofield, that had been given him and passed it on to me. And that Schofield, plus the spirit of wisdom and revelation, were my Bible college. They formed my Bible college. And let me tell you, I studied, and I still am studying. All right, that's the beginning. Now, the closing. 2004 must have been an unusual year, because I heard about it. And it was 2004 that the Lord came with an impression that I knew was from Him to go to Israel and fast and pray. He gave no agenda, but I obeyed. And I told the folks at the church, anyone who wished to come, come along. Otherwise, I was going, and with no questions in my spirit. Well, there were 12 of us who came to Tiberias area and went into one of the kibbutz there and fasted 3 days. 2 men and 10 women. So the one thing that I took along with me was my own agenda. God gave me none of His own, but I had a freedom to, after we would fast and pray for 3 days, I told the folks, I'd like to look around for a sliver of land and some out-of-the-way place, probably, where I could have a stake in the land after having taken tours there for 30 years. Began in 72. This was 2004. And so someone gave me a person I should call. He was an Anglican rector, and that maybe they would have some land. So the second day of our fast, I had a little freedom of time, and I went to the phone and called this number. And Murray Dixon is his name. And he said, We don't have any land, but there is a house I want to show you. And when we went to the house, I didn't want a house. I'll tell you one reason I didn't want a house. How would we take care of it? We were spread thin as it was. So, however, when we went into this house, it spoke. And everyone was taken aback. And so we found out it was for rent. And we signed the lease because the men had the authority of the board to do whatever little thing that I might see, a little piece of business that we might have to do. And so they signed the lease, and it was for $9,500 a year. Before I left there, I had $9,000 in my hand to give them by a gift. And that was more or less of a signal. That's the way it happened. And the next year it was for sale, and the people wanted to buy it. Since then, we have progressed to, now there are 5 buildings. It's a concise group of facilities that can serve so well. Now my thought is, isn't it grand that the Lord did not make a compulsory retirement at 65 years of age? And if I were you, I wouldn't let that world system idea permeate my life. I was 91 when he said to pick up and go to Israel and fast and pray. And now, 10 years later, look what's happened. I wanted to have a stake in Israel. God wanted to have a beachhead.
I'm speechless. What an incredible word for us. I like that word too about retirement. Because I'm up for election in 2 years. But anyway, that's a whole separate thing. You know, you've talked to us about beginning and 20 and 90. And that if the pastor hadn't come to the church when you were 20, your life would not have happened as it was.
No.
And then at 90, the Lord speaks to you, and you are still beginning. You were influenced by a beginner, and at 90, in these last decade, you have begun something that has already blessed hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the center. And I know how beautiful that center is. You can practically be in any room in the facilities and overlook the Sea of Galilee. It's just incredible. A prayer center, a retreat center, a marriage center, just an incredible accomplishment. And your life, Sister Blackwell, is an encouragement to all of us that at whatever age we are at, we can be still at a point of beginning. And the Lord can speak to us when we are 20, and he can speak to us when we are 90. And you're 102 on December the 13th. Maybe there's one more thing for you to do at 102. And I'm sure that he will put something on your heart, because I know how active and alive you are in the spirit, alive and active mentally, and God's using you in a wonderful way. We have used in the Pentecostal movement and in the Assemblies of God the term mother in Israel. Well, you are a mother in Israel and a mother in the Assemblies of God, and we salute you and thank God for you. Amen and amen. Let's express our love to Reverend Ellen Blackwell.
Just like the families of God, our Lifetime Influence Award winner.
Yeah. Go ahead and bring the lights back up, Donnie. Now, here's the reason I felt like I needed to play this tonight. The devil will sit on your shoulder and tell you that your most productive years are behind you. It's just not true. The second reason I need to share that with you is because I feel like the Lord is talking to some of us about starting something new. Maybe it's a Sunday school class. Maybe it's a neighborhood Bible study. Maybe it's just a Bible study with the ladies in that you work with. I don't know. But I just felt in my spirit the Lord's been talking to us, a lot of us, about starting something new. And did you hear what she said? If you're going to do it, get on with it. Let's do it. If somebody had not started a church when she was 20 years old in her part of the world, her life would have been very different. That's what she said. I could testify to much the same thing in my own life. Had it not been for somebody who was making a sacrifice, pastoring a little bitty church that at that time was in the country west of Arlington, Texas, if it hadn't been for that place, I'm not sure where my life would be today, and for the ministry of those people. I guess I just want to say to you, we're not too old. We're not has-beens. Kenny, I wouldn't be surprised if your greatest days in jail ministry aren't ahead of you. As good as things have, I mean, you've had a great year. But who knows what the Lord has to come. And on the other hand, Kayla, you're just jumping into this with both feet. Who knows what God has for you? Does anybody else feel this like I do? Is it just me because I'm having this old man identity crisis? No, I don't think so. I think the Lord's talking to us and saying to us that He wants to use us all the way to the end of this journey. If you're tired, get some rest and then jump back in. There's just no place to retire. Amen? There's just no place to retire. The world needs Holy Spirit baptized believers who will obey God and go where He says and do what He says to do. Interesting to me that this whole thing in Israel started because the Lord prompted her to fast and pray. How many of you in this room, the Lord has prompted you to fast and pray recently? Yeah. Anytime that happens, obey the Lord because God is up to something. Hallelujah. Could you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to take a moment. We're going to pray for ourselves and for one another. And then we'll see how the Lord leads. Father, the enemy of our soul would like for us to choose to just coast and take it easy, to let somebody else obey the Lord and plow new ground and do the work that you're calling your church to do. The Holy Spirit is dealing with us and calling to us about a lost world, and we know the enemy of our soul wants us to ignore that voice and to be just concerned with ourselves. God, we resist that tonight. We resist the idea that we don't have something to offer this world anymore. We resist the idea that we're too old to start something new. We resist the idea that maybe our best days are behind us. And we choose to believe tonight, Lord, that you have something new for all of us. That you've got a plan for all of us in sharing the gospel both here and around the world. God, cause us to realize that your plans and your desires for us are greater than we can even begin to imagine. And cause us to realize, God, that you're not limited by the things, by the conventional wisdom of our time. You can work in whoever you choose to work with. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above wherever there is faith to believe and a will to obey. God, remind us of this tonight. For there is a world that needs Jesus. And you have called us. You have called us to be the messengers. For anybody in this room tonight, Lord, that has been battling with this lies of the enemy, I pray, Lord, that you let it settle deep into our spirits tonight. Lord, as long as we have breath, we have a story to tell, and we will tell it. Praise the name of the Lord. Just for my benefit, while heads are still bowed, everybody in this room say, Pastor, I needed to hear this. Would you slip your hand up quickly and put it right back? Okay, that's what I thought. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we have a place in your plan and in your purpose. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I'll tell you what, before we do anything else, take the hand of the person next to you. I want you to pray for them. Pray that God will guide them. Praise the name of the Lord. Kaylee and I will celebrate 35 years of marriage in just a month or so. If you had told me 35 years ago she'd ever be willing to lead in worship, or she would ever be willing to do what she's doing in the school system, I'd have said, you don't know my wife. But how the Lord had bigger plans for her. Could we pray for one another? Father, you know what is ahead. You know what is ahead for the men and the ladies in this room. For the young and the old in this room. You know what is ahead. Guide us, Lord. Lead us by the power and person of the Holy Spirit, so that we are in the right place at the right time to do the will of God, to be the people of God. God, what wonderful things are yet to occur in the lives of your people. Because we will say, yes, Lord. God, work in the lives of every person in this room. Let your will be fully realized in each one. Cause us to realize, God, that you really do have great things ahead. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for bearing with me. I don't know. I just feel like this was the order of the Lord. Sing with me. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. one more time. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you, it's time to start something new. And don't expect encouragement from your friends. A friend of mine at General Counsel said, what are you doing these days? I said, well, I'm working on another degree. His line was, you're a little old for that, aren't you? No. However the Lord leads, that's where we're going to go. Amen. I don't know why, but that's what I felt like the Lord wanted us to hear tonight. Go ahead.
The life you have, give me a testimony, because that's what they need. So I did, and we had two coming.
Isn't that awesome? Two men also. I'm convinced God is moving everywhere where people are obedient. I just know that He is. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Time to start something new. That's all I can say. Steve, pray for us. God bless you, church. God willing, Sunday morning, I'm going to preach a message entitled, I've Seen the Future, and You Look Better.